strength and to show success.
Welcome, one and all, to another edition of the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. I've been thinking about this and speaking about civil rights and all of that. Polling places removed from Native Reservation. This in from care2.com. Residents of Spirit Lake Reservation in North Dakota are protesting the country's decision to remove three polling places from the tribe's three precinct vicinity. The Benson County Board of Commissioners cited the high costs of running the polls and training staff as reasons for their decision. You know, yeah, democracy is too expensive. We don't want that. Spirit Lake leaders offered to front the cost for recruiting and training poll workers as well as provide rent-free facilities. And the board declined, saying the cost would still be too high and that mail-in ballots are cheaper. In a country where natives account for 50% of all voters, this move will most certainly disenfranchise them with only one poll location in the entire county. And they will have to travel further and have a longer waiting time to cast their vote. While mail-in ballots may be cheaper, every voter should have the same methods available to cast their vote as every other voter in the US. And, you know, in New Zealand, we had a vote recently by mail ballot. And it turns out that when you get your ballot, that's when the campaigning is supposed to stop because you're not supposed to influence voters over a polling period, right? And we got our ballots, what was it, Will, like three weeks or something before the campaigning stopped. And the whole time that was happening, the media was chalking it up and saying, oh, there's only two candidates. So naturally, people only voted for two candidates. Who picks the frickin' winners here? It's the bloody media. They tell you who to vote for, don't they? It's almost as if everybody doesn't really care about political process or understanding who their candidates are or anything. I'm going to vote for them because the TV told me to. Because I'm just that much of a dupe. When are people going to learn? Really? I mean...
Never.
Come to think of it, what the heck is voting done for us in the first place, man? Like, seriously, it's almost as if there ain't any free elections no more. They're all frickin' rigged. Where are the good candidates? I can't find any, or at least none that'll actually win over the massive votes from the dumb, brainwashed general public. Doesn't make any sense to me. And for some reason, I've just got no confidence in the system. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. is business time.
It's business, it's business time.
That's what you mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business,
we're back.
It's business time.
Oh yeah,
yes. That's right. We go brush our teeth. That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and GorillaMedia.co.nz. Now, massive stretches of weathered oil spotted in Gulf of Mexico. This is from NOLA.com. Just 3 days after the U.S. Coast Guard Admiral in charge of the BP oil spill, oil cano cleanup, declared little recoverable surface oil remained in the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, I'm pretty sure that's because all the core exit has covered the entire seabed. With copious amounts of oil. Your Louisiana fishers Friday found miles-long strings of weathered oil floating toward fragile marshes on the Mississippi River Delta. The discovery, which comes as millions of birds began moving toward the region in the fall migration, gave ammunition to groups that have insisted the government has overstated cleanup progress and could force reclosure of key fishing areas only recently reopened. The oil was sighted in West Bay, which covers approximately 35 square miles of open water between Southwest Pass, the main shipping channel of the river, and Tiger Pass near Venice. Boat captains working the BP cleanup effort said they've been reporting large areas of surface oil off the Delta for more than a week, but have seen little response from BP or the Coast Guard, which is in charge of the cleanup. The captain said most of their sightings have occurred during stretches of calm weather, similar to what the area has experienced most of this week. On Friday, reports include amounts of strips of the heavily weathered orange oil that became a signature image of the spill during the summer. One captain said some strips were in as much as 400 feet wide and a mile long. The captains did not want to be named for fear of losing their cleanup jobs with BP. Oh, I don't want to speak out for the truth. I won't have any money. I'll just rather just sit back and like let everybody, you know, upstream get so unbelievably killed by this horrible stuff, you know. But at least I'll be able to keep my boat running into my BP dollars. Yes. Coast Guard officials Friday said a boat had been dispatched to investigate the sightings, but that a report would not be available until Saturday morning. However, Times Picayune photojournalist Matt Hinton confirmed the sightings in an overflight of West Bay. Robert Barham, Secretary of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery, said that if these sightings are confirmed by his agency, the area will be reclosed to fishing until it is confirmed oil-free again. And I'm wondering whether or not the oil cano has actually stopped gushing at all. I mean, haven't heard anything about it at all in New Zealand media. I don't know. Screams cover up to me. I don't know, but who knows? Just Tuesday, Coast Guard Rear Admiral Paul Zunkhoff, in charge of the federal response, and his top scientific advisor Steve Lehman said. And he also has a brother, apparently, said that little of the 210 million gallons of oil spilled into the Gulf remained on the surface or even on the Gulf's floor. Lehman pointed to extensive tests conducted by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration that included taking samples of water from various depths, as well as collections of bottom sediments both far ashore and close to the coast. Those claims, announced on the six-month anniversary of the spill, brought quick rebuttals from a variety of environmental and fishermen's groups who insist that their members have been reporting sightings of surface oil all along. Oh, what a surprise there. LSU environmental sciences professor Ed Overton, who has been involved in the oil spill response for 30 years, said that he believes both claims could be accurate. The Louisiana sweet crude from the Deepwater Horizon is very light and has almost neutral buoyancy, Overton said, which means that when it picks up any particles from the water column, it will sink to the bottom. It's quite possible, he says, that when the weather calms and the water temperatures change, the oil particles that have spread along the bottom will recoagulate and float to the surface again and form these large mats. I say this is a possibility because I know that the Coast Guard has sent boats out to investigate these reports, but by the time they get to the scenes, the weather has changed and they don't see any oil. I think the reports are credible, but also think the incident responders are trying to find the oil too, Overton said. This is unusual, but nothing about this bloody spill has been normal since the beginning. Yeah. I think old Halliburton might have something to do with that. Yeah. If you look at who's involved in any crisis, really, it'd be kind of strange to think that if Halliburton is involved, that it's perfectly good, you know, that there's nothing nefarious going on. You'd be kind of a moron if you thought that, quite frankly. Overton said it's important for the state to discover the mechanism that is causing the oil to reappear because even this highly weathered oil poses a serious threat to the coastal ecology. If this was tar balls floating around, that would be one thing. But these reports are of mats of weathered oil that could cause serious problems if it gets into the marsh, he said. The reports are a great concern to wildlife officials. The Mississippi Delta is a primary wintering ground for hundreds of thousands of ducks and geese, some of which already have begun arriving. The West Bay area leads into several shallower interior bays that attract ducks, geese, and a myriad of species of shore and wading birds each winter. Earlier this month, state wildlife officials were expressing optimism the spill would have minimal impact on those waterfowl visitors because little oil had penetrated the sensitive wintering grounds. That does not sound about right to me. This crisis is going to keep going on and on and on, methinks. I think that a decade from now, people will still be reporting on it, people will still be talking about it, and people will still be suffering from it. Not least the wonderful, fabulous effects of Corexit 9500, which some people in the Gulf have found in their blood, which would be very, very scary indeed if it was you. But because of somebody in a state far away, oh no, don't worry about it, it's okay. It's just a terrible, terrible thing, man, seriously. God knows when the end of it will be.
Speaking of, don't worry about it. We have an excellent article here from a New Zealand blogger, Luke Appleby, who in fact works for Fairfax Media. Scoop New Zealand, scoop.co.nz. Trial 9/11, trial by YouTube jury. And in this article, he writes about how YouTube, since 2005, has been used to promote everything from, you know, the larger issues about 9/11 to BMX mishaps and cute kittens.
I love the cute kitten videos.
Yeah, there's lots of inane nonsense. Well, some of it's quite interesting too, but he goes into the debate anyway and says that YouTube has effectively been the largest collection of evidence on 9/11, because that's where most, if not all, of the video is. And people should, in fact, just look at it for more than 20 minutes. And he goes on to say, there are many out there who dismiss alternative theories on what happened on that day without really asking themselves why they are doing it. Which is a great point. Why do people get so angry, so hostile, and dismiss out of hand any alternative explanation of 9/11? It's not as if they were in the Bush administration. It's not as if we're accusing them of any culpability other than ignorance. And then he goes on to talk about how, you know, so many engineering and physics professionals have formed a group called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and documenting the controlled demolition hypothesis, which is the hypothesis, if you ask me, that best supports the available information, which I'd sooner believe in than the So many mainstream accounts of what's occurred, either in a physical way, normally in a scientific way, are lies. If you ask me, total lies that ride upon the emotive, just emotive chatter of inane fools, such as the climate change debate, such as a lot of the evolution debate, I'll dare say. And 9/11, well, why should it be any different? Why should it be any difference with the Princess Diana's crash? I'm just meant to, think, oh, yeah, sure, they would allow this princess to be driven around by a complete drunk. She wouldn't have this huge security detail that wouldn't take any risk, wouldn't eliminate all risk factors humanly possible. There's no MI5 trained people around her. Of course, they'd just let her get into a car with an absolute drunk.
Yeah, so absolutely.
The media think you're stupid. They think you're stupid, and most people are. And
they think you wouldn't know. They think you wouldn't know about the 14 security cameras that failed that night along the route that the car was traveling to.
Yeah. And so most of MI5 guys don't believe that happened accidentally, and nor do I. So, call MI5 conspiracy theorists too. But anyway, on this issue on WTC7, on 9/11, he goes a lot into WTC7, and he lists 8 points, pretty much making a case for 9/11. Says, number one, a little-known third building, Building 7, was also leveled despite not being hit by anything at all. Well, it was hit by a little bit of debris, but yeah. Number two, no reinforced steel structure had ever before 9/11 collapsed due to fire. That's correct. No concrete steel structure has collapsed due to fire. Still. Three, thermite dust, a high-power military-grade explosive, has been found in the debris. Correct. Thermite is a derivative of thermite, and it has sulfur added to it as a catalyst and can rip through steel even more efficiently. Number four.
Yeah, it goes from being a hot knife through butter to being a lightsaber through butter.
Yeah. Because people argued that thermite isn't really a cutting charge, it's just a 2,000 plus degree burning substance, but thermite, military grade, patented, of which we can't even see the full chemical details because it's part of the Black Ops program, effectively, is a cutting charge.
It's nanotech, anyway. Man. It's highly advanced nanotechnology, okay? The general public doesn't have access to this. Nobody does.
Al-Qaeda made it in the caves. Of course.
Yeah.
Number four.
They made it in a couple of plastic buckets, stirring it around with the bucks of their AK-47s. Mixed it up like it was paint thinner.
He goes on anyway to talk about how debris was thrown sideways by building explosions. When the South Tower fell, there were projections of over 100 feet of huge 25-ton steel I-beams and H-beams. Just thrown out sideways. Unbelievable amount of energy. And are people going to say, oh, that's because it was in tension? Most of those outer beams are actually in shear. And so when you get something collapse in shear, it'll just drop down due to gravity. I mean, how do you get the sort of tension to laterally project a 25-ton beam out that far? And people can't just see that. It should be inside job straight away.
Yeah.
Obviously, jet fuel doesn't burn hot enough. Jet fuel doesn't burn hot enough to melt.
For all of 9/11 was the 500-ton steel support beam that got blown right into the face of an adjacent structure half a kilometer away.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one. So this guy just wrote James Appleby at scoop.co.nz, good job, and he just said, honestly, do yourself, your mind, and spirit the justice. Of justice in favor, and watch some of these videos. I'm sure you've got an opinion on this one. What do you think? And then in the comment section, Vinny, this is where we're never surprised, right? Never surprised. There's some people saying there needs to be an independent investigation. And then there's like some guy called Cesar says, seriously, with a question mark. And another guy says, watch it. It's all downhill from here. You're only two steps away from believing the US government is under the control of reptilian mind control program. You know, and this other guy says, yep, and Elvis shot JFK. Another person, didn't you learn your lesson after the moon nonsense? Didn't you learn your lesson after the moon nonsense? Read Popular Mechanics article on this. It explains all your points. All your points. I'd find you the link, but why should I do your research for you when it's freely available? A debunker saying that.
I love it when they make huge sweeping statements like that, like, all your evidence is debunked. Really? Can you name me one piece of evidence that's been debunked and how they debunked it? No. That's because you're a moron. Shut up. Sit back down and stop criticizing us, okay? We're not crazy people here. We're actually the intelligent ones. And you are the moron, okay? You must listen to us because you don't know what you're effing talking about. Lie down before you hurt yourself.
Because I don't believe that Elvis shot JFK, and I don't believe that the moon's made of cheese, and I don't believe, you know, that aliens shot, you know, killed Diana or something. I mean, like, it's totally insane. I don't believe that reptiles run the US government either. I don't really care about the reptilian theory, but these people don't know the difference between legitimate conspiracy and outrageous conspiracy. They don't know that. See, they think you can't believe in any of it at all because some of it's associated to some wacky stuff. You know, and so they think, oh, well, guilty by association, I'm going to declare all that out of my consciousness, all that out of reality. And so they become bigots. And at the same time, they would say, I'm a bigot. But see, they've become bigoted because they've just narrowed down the boundaries of reality to what they define by their bogus little handbook written by a bunch of bloody cowardly geeks, put it that way.
Yeah, 9/11 is just so freaking obvious, and it speaks to the methodologies of our enemy, that is such a massive psyop could make everybody not believe the evidence itself. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Coming at you live from umpteen thousands of miles away and kilometers away if you happen to be using the superior metric system. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, brought to you by gorillamedia.co.nz. We have a special guest on the line. His name is Jeff Mitchell, and Will, perhaps you could introduce Jeff to us. What is he doing?
Well, I was more going to ask Jeff in a minute, but yeah. But Jeff's a motivated young New Zealander currently living in the earthquake zone in Christchurch, New Zealand, which is in our South Island. And similar to ourselves, Vinny, Jeff has realized that 9/11 was an inside job. The banking system is run by Rothschild-controlled scumbags. And most of our food is being manipulated by giant mega corporations such as Monsanto. And just everything's going to hell in the handbasket while a bunch of people obsess over rugby, football, and beer. And so, but I'll let I'll
especially
let
in the South Island.
Yeah,
Jeff, are you there on the line with us?
Hi, I'm here.
Good,
hey, Jeff,
mate.
Good.
Welcome to the Finestwood Show.
So,
now, I wonder if you... Oh, go ahead, Jeff, sorry.
To add to the introduction, I'm also the webmaster of nz911truth.org. We have quite a nice basic website, and sometimes we even update it.
Oh, nice. Always a bonus. And how did you wake up, Jeff?
Well, I had this friend who was very alternative, and he used to go to a lot of parties, and sometimes they'd smoke exotic herbs. And he just happened to give me a copy of Zeitgeist. But as we now know, that's communist propaganda. But nevertheless, I spoke to another friend. I know someone in Auckland who you guys don't really know. And this other person, speaking with him online, I said I'd seen Zeitgeist, and he said, oh, you should really watch Martial Law, 9/11, Rise of the Police State. And then eventually I found out about Alex Jones, all of his films, the websites, and eventually met up with the 9/11 Truth folks in Wellington.
Yeah, we have a strong 9/11 Truth movement in Wellington, and, well, frankly, incredibly impressed. We've got, you know, as far as 9/11 Truth in Auckland is concerned, what is there, Will? There's like half a dozen of us. We're severely unorganized.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, 9/11 Truth, Wellington's got it together, and they've got funding, and they've got anonymous backers, and they've got it all down. But yeah, good on them, I say. It all seems to happen in Wellington. Like, you know, it's an activist hub, isn't it?
Sure is. By the way, I was listening to the Alex Jones show once. I think this was, when was it? Maybe earlier this year. Alex Jones said he met someone at some restaurant or somewhere, and they said to him, New Zealand is on fire with you. I think that was because of the Richard Gage visit last year. Pretty funny.
That was a great one, and I watched the DVD of that presentation, and what I was amazed about was just the huge amount of people that turned up, man. I mean, seriously, it was unbelievable. There were people sitting in the aisles because there weren't enough seats.
Yeah, we had two rooms full as well. They streamed it into another room. We were at Soundings Theatre on the second floor. But that wasn't actually big enough because we had, 620 people, and we had to turn about 100 or more people away because they just kept coming. So we were streaming it into two different rooms, and it was interesting to see. By the way, we did manage to get 51% of the board at Te Papa to let us get the go-ahead for this event, so we're very, very lucky, and we certainly won't be getting Soundings Theatre anytime soon after that.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. Give us more details on that, because there were some people who tried to prevent it being screened, didn't they? They don't believe in free speech.
Who exactly?
Well, weren't there some people on the board of the, well, to give people a some eyes, Richard Gage came to New Zealand in November of last year, and he was doing end of October, he was doing a speaking sort of circuit between Wellington and Auckland, and the good folks down in Wellington managed to organise all this, organise him coming over even, and get a amazing venue in Wellington's state-owned museum. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah. Well, it was in November, but anyway.
In November,
some people on the board, I don't think, wanted to see this go ahead because Te Papa is a pretty flash place. When you use the word museum, it just screams boring, but Te Papa is an interesting place. I was there years ago and 02 or 03, and they had the Lord of the Rings exhibit, so it's not just arty-farty things. They like to put in some popular things as well. So it's more than just a museum.
It's a New World Order museum, yeah.
well, sort of. But anyway, some of the board didn't really like the idea of 9/11 Truth being there. They seemed to think that it would fit in with the colossal squid and these other, I don't know, these other things they had on. But anyway, Helen managed to convince them, because she has that middle-class mum image. So, yeah, we got a little bit extra support from that and the social engineering and things. We went with it. So that was cool.
Hey, stuff, use the weapons of the enemy against them, I always say.
And so, what are the other, just to explain to our listeners, what are the other big issues for you, Jeff? What do you think is really pressing down on New Zealand at the moment?
The incredible amount of apathy, definitely. Because we don't really have real debates in this country. It's a lot smaller than America. We don't really have much the way of talk shows. We have these controlled talk shows where you can talk about a set topic, but there's really no open venue. And the apathy and the excuse-making is incredible. We seem to think that we're in a different dimension from every other nation on Earth. You can't really debate Afghanistan, for example. People will say, well, it's good that the New Zealand soldiers are there because people like us and we're helping the Afghans. But then they can't see it's just a smoke screen for the mass wanton destruction of brown life being carried out by Obama-Lini and his fascist regime. So we're just providing a cover, and it's interesting because in America people debate the war and you actually have protests, and here in New Zealand it's just, oh, well, John Key says it's good, and yeah, he does know what he's talking about. He spoke to Hillary Clinton once. And the way people go along with this is just incredible. So the apathy is a good pressing issue. A lot of things are international. The things about economy and currency wars are international. The wars are all international. We get oil from the Middle East. This should concern us. People don't seem to get it. And the other problem is we just need to establish some real media in this country, because the country is still young, and if we really get a boost at the start, then we'll be better positioned 10 years from now.
Yeah, that's what me and Will are really trying to do here, is kind of become that sort of alternative media in New Zealand, because we all know here in this country that there's no decent media. All right, none. All right, it's all lame. More or less, and the ones that aren't lame, they're too small for the general public to notice, you know. And for my part, I mean, I just really want to get out there and push it into their faces, you know, and make sure that they can't ignore it.
Yeah, there's the odd good person in some of these scumbag institutions, but by and large, they're just all a bunch of trash, and you know, just keep covering up for all these mainstream accounts of reality, I suppose. But you touched on something there before, Jeff, and it was that the average punter isn't interested in politics. But then you get those ones who think they kind of are, and they are in their celebrity news rag sort of way, the same way they're interested in, you know, who Ashton Kutcher slept with last week or something. They're interested in who John Key's friends with on an international politics scale, and therefore if we go and, you know, go and help the Americans, it's a good thing, like you said, because he met with Hillary or something. And those people are almost worse than the ones who don't know anything about anything, I find. It's those ones who think they know something. And they would say this about me, mind you. Well, let's have a debate, pal. You know, it's the ones who think they know something who really, really don't. They're the hardest ones to get through to, aren't they? It's those university-trained little slime balls.
Yeah. Like the ones who are qualified lawyers and doctors and tax department lackeys and stuff like that. It's interesting. I remember talking to a lady about the Super City, and she said, oh, well, I was part of a company that helped recommend to the government about the Super City. And I go, really? Did you have a broad spectrum analysis of the Super City environment and all the corporate corporate aspects to it, or were you compartmentalized? And she goes, oh, well, you know, I was just doing a little secretary job. And I go, so compartmentalize then. And she goes, you know, it's just like, you don't know what you're talking about, love. All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, here we are. We're all building this giant we're building this giant pyramid, and your job is to square up the corner of this one block and not know anything about what's going on. And, oh, okay, I'm proud of that. I'm helping my country. I'm good.
Look, look, master, I squared my block proper.
What do you think on this, Jeff? I mean, are we being too cynical here, or is this how the system is able to co-opt everyone?
That's actually how it works, unfortunately. You're right about people who think they know about politics, but who really don't. If you go into Trade Me forums at trademe.co.nz and go into the opinion and politics section, you see the those people who think they know but really don't. It's the, I'm right-wing and we're the best and, gosh, don't support these leftists, weirdos, and, oh, no, we can't support third parties because if you vote for them, they'll never get in anyway. Just vote for National or Labour, they'll save us.
Just maintain the status quo, yeah.
And the funny thing is, it doesn't really matter even if you do vote for a third party. Most of them are all the same anyway. If you vote for the Red Party or the Blue Party or the Green Party, you still get a carbon dioxide tax, and you'll probably still get a war. I was on Keith Locke's blog, and he's from the Green Party, and he's the and the foreign policy and the war spokesperson and the immigration spokesperson for the Green Party, and he said in his blog once that the provincial reconstruction team in Afghanistan, the engineering and construction unit, is doing a wonderful job in Afghanistan, and we might as well just keep him there. And before you know it, Keith Locke will be saying, oh, well, we need to keep the SAS there to protect the provincial reconstruction team, and you have a perfect merger between the Red, the Blue, and the Green Party as their constituents bicker over who's leftist and who's a smelly communist, while ignoring the fact that these parties are all the same anyway.
Yeah, and they hate it when we say they're all the same, don't they? They go, oh, we're not, we're different on this, you know, tiny, minute detail of, you know, how many we want to engage in the war or how much of a CO2 tax we want to have, but they don't even argue the premise, do they? We're never going to debate whether or not we should have a CO2 tax in New Zealand. Why is there no debate in the so-called free country? It's so frustrating, you know, to think that
I remember on
our grandfathers fought so we could sit down and shut up and take it. You know, like.
I remember during the election of National, our Lord and Savior John Key. What was he saying? Oh yeah, the YouTube debate. Do you remember that? I sent in a few videos of that, talking about why should we have a carbon tax during a depression. and of course, my video got a fair amount of views, and was quickly removed from the YouTube debate website, interestingly enough. Our special guest is Jeff Mitchell from New Zealand 911 Truth, coming at us live from the earthquake zone in Christchurch. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and guerrillamedia.co.nz. We'll be right back.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end a planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Woohoo!
No handlebars. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, proudly supported by guerrillamedia.co.nz, and of course, my co-host Will has just got us a wonderful article to read out in a moment. And on the line, we have our special guest from the Earthquake Zone in Christchurch, Mr. Jeff Mitchell from nz911truth.org, our fabulous webmaster down there. Jeff, welcome back.
Hi.
Now, Will, you were talking about a 9/11 comment by a union leader in Australia being slapped down by the new Masonic wenchy, old Gillard.
Oh, she isn't she? There's a citing from an ABC News article. It's ABC Australia. It's got a picture of Gillard in a checkered skirt next to a chest, and the chest happens to have a sun symbol inside of it with G in the middle. So there you go. Right in the face.
You can't
it just
make
doesn't
this
get any better
up,
than
folks.
That. So weird. So weird, these people. But anyway, moving on. So we don't judge them for their secret society connections. They're entitled to that. Prime Minister Julia Gillard says that comments by a Victorian union official that September 11 terrorist attacks were a conspiracy are stupid and wrong. So that's the way they state it, that the September 11, 2001 terror attacks were a conspiracy. Well, straight away I know we're living in an idiocracy. Yeah, and it's written by a stupid bitch called Samantha Donovan. You know, I mean, don't you realize that the September 11 terror attacks that killed 3,000 people were a conspiracy regardless of who carried it out? You know, like straight away there, from the word go, they're manipulating people via language technique. They're either manipulating or they're retarded. Both deserve punishment.
I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Well, then we'll do a little bit of column A and column B punishment then. You know, lose their job and cut their hands off. You know, like, moving on here. Victorian Trades Hall Council President Kevin Bracken says the official story of the World Trade Center attacks does not stack up. Thank you, Kevin Bracken. The opposition says the comments are offensive and has asked the Prime Minister to take disciplinary action against the official. Ms. Gillard says she does not agree with the comments. Quote, obviously they are stupid and wrong, end quote. Ms. Gillard said when she asked about the comments during the question time this afternoon. However, I can also say this. If it's the intervention of the leader of the opposition, if it's the intention of the leader of the opposition to expel every individual from the Liberal Party who makes a stupid statement, I'll be sending him a weekly list. She finishes off by saying. So she thinks the stupid 9/11 truth is in good company. Okay. The Victorian Trades Hall Council has been forced to distance itself from Mr. Bracken after his calls to ABC to an ABC local radio in Melbourne this morning. Talkback callers were ringing in to put their views about Australia's role in Afghanistan. Mr. Bracken, who is the Victorian branch secretary of the Maritime Union of Australia, MUA, called in and presenter John Fain was taken aback by what he had to say. Well, I believe that the official story is a conspiracy theory that doesn't stand up to scientific scrutiny, Mr. Bracken said. Fain replies, are you serious? Is this a hoax? Or are you serious? Mr. Bracken replies, no, I'd love to debate you publicly, John, if you think it's ridiculous. There is nothing to debate, Fain replied. I challenge you to a public debate, Mr. Bracken then said. I love this guy. There is nothing to debate, Fain again responded. There's nothing to debate. Shut it down. I'm a Freemason. Shut it down. Well, the fact is that aviation fuel doesn't get hot enough to melt steel, says Mr. Bracken. Fain pressed Mr. Bracken on which, quote, nutter theory. Sounds like it's been listening to Al and Coulter or maybe even Noam Chomsky, depending on what flavor left or right he likes. Which nutter theory that Mr. Bracken subscribes to? In my mind, the buildings were imploded, Mr. Bracken continues. I think it reflects very poorly on Kevin, that you have views that are so ridiculous, so extreme, and so unacceptable, and yet you hold office in some of our unions in Victoria, Fane said. If it's so ridiculous, John, I challenge you to debate me on it, Mr. Brecken continues.
Yeah, I'd just come at that from a different angle. What I'd say is it's amazing holding such crazy theories that you'd hold a position in office. What I'd say is, well, you hold a position in office. Let's listen to you.
Yeah, or how about the fact that this other guy holds a position on ABC Radio Australia and he's such a dumb SOB? And he can't accept any sort of debate even. He thinks that free society shouldn't be free. He thinks a man outside his work hours, just because he holds a position, can't call into a radio show and express his views on something. You know, you can't. You're not just a professional all the time. You can separate your life. These are human beings too.
Yeah. You know? Operation so Mockingbirds. Operation Mockingbird strikes again. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And we will be right back with the second hour. Number two. And we're back, coming at you live from the earthquake zone in Christchurch. It is Jeff Mitchell from New Zealand 9/11 Truth. Oh no, NZ911truth.org. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, lastly, before we let you go, I want to talk about just about, you know, New Zealand's role in all of this. Do you think New Zealand's significant in the fight back against the New World Order?
Yes, because we have a significant amount of political leverage, depending on who you prefer to believe. But we did the anti-nuclear thing, and we can be a pain in the bum and get away with it. And I think that... Even if Afghanistan doesn't, it's not, even if it isn't a key election issue, people should still be debating it anyway. Because if New Zealand could pull out or say that the war was a fraud, and as long as we can keep the support for the war suppressed under 50%, we can do a lot of political damage. And it's already happening as well with anti-war groups around the world. And we're adding to it, and we're also significant because of our relatively clean reputation.
As the world's quote-unquote least corrupt country, which is a big frickin' joke, supposedly our little country's got a lot of credibility. We're on the Security Council as well.
And we've got, Helen Clark. But yeah, Jeff, what did you want to say about John Key? Yeah, go for it there.
Oh, well, I know a lot of your listeners are in America, but John Key, oh, he is a funny guy. He is one of those hand-picked people, and it's just hilarious, because I'm not sure if I would have noticed all of this if it weren't for Alex Jones, but anyone with at least two brain cells to rub together can see through this hilarious political deception. And it's just odd. We have this guy who says, oh, I'm for New Zealand, and the media, the way he's crowding around him. Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, it's our leader, John Key, and he's going for a secret trip to Afghanistan. He's watching the rugby, and he's trying to keep the Hobbit film from being outsourced overseas. The guy's an embarrassment. I could never find myself voting for him. I mean, really, he
he's
is
like a real smooth secret agent, eh?
Yeah, he is also a rather pathetic brown noser in the sense of the war, and he's always doing something for America and saying we've got to fight international terrorism. Look, I've lived in this country my whole life, just about 20 years, and I've never seen a terrorist. And the way he gets credibility somehow and says, oh my God, terrorists, it's almost laughable. And I reckon, yeah, we've really got to expand this show and make something specifically for New Zealanders, maybe a podcast or something. just using technology so we can get people like this out of office permanently and get some good people in.
Permanently, you said it, you know. There needs to be permanent solutions. And sorry to say, Zeitgeist, you guys aren't it. You know, we need maybe in 1,000 years, you know, but right now we need down-to-earth solutions for the problems that exist thanks to an elite. You know, we do have an elite. Do you agree, Jeff? We do have an elite that runs a planet, regardless of who they might be. But the idea that we actually have some sort of structure, what do you think on that?
Oh, well, we obviously have an elite. Everyone knows that. Well, some people prefer to deny it. It's not too hard to figure out what the problems are. Everything's in your face.
Exactly.
Yep,
exactly.
I'd 100% agree with that. Thank you very much, Jeff, for coming on this edition of the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. And I'm sure you'll be happy to post the podcast up on your website there for us and come back on again with us sometime.
Yeah, definitely. I'll come back sometime when I don't have a job interview to go to.
There he goes.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need.
Anger to a place that ain't gon' get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and bro, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where'd you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slaves. They print a handy buck and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't...
Loan sharks! Someone amongst us in a feeding frenzy, forcing people out of their house and homes with their documents forged, of course. In fact, this is happening a lot. Anybody heard about this? This is classic. Seriously. Major US banks have been caught in a huge ring of foreclosure fraud. All right, they're just making the documents up and going in and taking people's homes for no reason. How interesting. What the heck is going on here? It's collapsing the housing market. People are freaked out. I don't know if anyone has children or anything about there. You know how the politicians always use that old adage, you know, what about the children? Well, I'm going to say what about the children right now. What about the children, man? Seriously. These bankster scumbag filthmongers don't give two flying Fs about your kids. They prefer they were dead. They prefer that they were rotting somewhere in a distant garbage pile, like the slime and filth that the slaves ooze from every orifice. You know, in a really dastardly evil kind of way. And this is what people don't really get when they're fighting back against the New World Order. A lot of us fight back against the New World Order in a lot of different ways. Some people aren't even aware about the New World Order and are inadvertently fighting against it, just like some are inadvertently unaware of the New World Order and serving it. Those people, they mean what they say, but they don't know what it means. Do you know anybody like that who really believes what they're saying? And you know, evidentiary, that they're wrong. And they won't admit it to themselves. Okay, everybody knows somebody like that, right? Okay, for these people, I think to myself, all right, the only way that I can really get through to somebody like this is if I'm part of their establishment. All right, their establishment of thought, anyway. Am I one of their teachers? No. Am I one of their politicians? No. And even if I was, I'd be demonized by all the others for being a crazy conspiracy theorist, wouldn't I? So my point is, you can't really reason with these people because they're not using reason against you in the main. They don't sound like rational arguments. They sound like an emotional response. And if you are totally emotionless, if you can video somebody as you're explaining to this stuff and go back over it and look at their facial reactions and all of this, you can see that they're switching off. And why wouldn't they? It's not as though reality is something anybody wants to wake up to. That's why drugs and alcohol and goodness knows what else, vacant entertainment we can put on our minds, are everywhere. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to stop caring and start distracting yourself from everything that matters. Most of all, the truth. If you can stop the truth from mattering, then lies will be all somebody cares about. And that's how most people live their lives, as people who care about the lie that they have swallowed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, if people want a case study this Vinny's point in case, just look at the climate change debate. Look at how so many people are being suckered into thinking we can reduce our carbon footprint. And then when you really get to the hardcore semantics of it, when you really get into the crux of it, it's all about reducing people. Yet most of the people who believe in this are on the leftist side of the fake left-right paradigm and claim to be humanitarians, and they're all on like Palestinian peace flotillas and all this other nonsense that doesn't achieve anything, and you know, helping people in Africa and stuff on one hand, and then saying climate change on the other hand. And you know, reading this article here, talking about, you know, Bill Gates did this submission, and you know, he goes and makes this formula for CO2 in the atmosphere, and it's CO2 equals P times S times E times C, where P equals people, S equals services per person, E equals energy per service, and C equals CO2 per energy unit. So it's basically saying the more people, the more energy, the more CO2. Which is true. But who said CO2 is bad in the first place? You see, that's a false premise. That's like, you know, that's like Adolf Hitler setting a false premise in motion, saying all these people are genetically inferior, and then look how many there are, and look where they are, and look what we've got to do to them, and then forming a pragmatic argument to get rid of people after setting in motion a false premise. Like, if you can convince people that killing 50 million babies since 1973 in the United States and call it abortion, if you can convince people that's okay, you can do anything. You can literally, the sky is the limit. No, and
it's very true.
No one gets it. You can do anything, and you can make humanitarians anti-human. No, and Bill Gates is the quote from Bill Gates.
It's moldable. Isn't the mind capable?
The world today. I'll just read this one quickly. He goes, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. It's actually about 8.1 to 8.6 max. Anyway, now if we really do a great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 to or 15%. That's a direct quote from that scumbag Bill Gates. He says if we improve vaccines, healthcare, and reproductive health services, we could lower the population by 10 or 15% when it's already increasing by virtue of having the amount of people we do, and especially living in poverty in the third world with reproductive rates over 3. He's saying we could reduce by increasing all those things that most people, sort of conspiracy theorists, say are the reason why the population's growing anyway. because of improved healthcare, vaccinations, and reproductive health services. Those are, you know, especially vaccines and healthcare, are the reason most people say we're living longer and there's more of us. He's saying and proving that he's speaking the truth in a way there in his little serpentine riddle of his. What do you make of that, Vinny? It's amazing, isn't it?
I don't even get it. I mean,
he's saying that if you improve vaccines and healthcare and reproductive health services, you could lower the population by 10 or 15%. So he's saying you could kill something like a billion people, and you know, anywhere from half a billion to a billion people by improving those services that everyone thinks the state has to save people. Don't the statists get it? Don't the leftists get it? Don't the big government shills get it? Don't the people who trust in vaccines and mainstream medicine get it? Don't the people who don't understand what contraception, a lot of contraceptive things like the pill do to people? The pill was a big, the pill was one of the biggest scams on dumbass women. Tell you what. I'm sorry if that offends people, but it's true. It's one of the biggest scams going. It's another pragmatic thing. I don't want to get impregnated, so I'm going to take this thing that has all manner. You know how many people have died as a result of that drug? In the early stages, especially. You know how many birth defects are caused by it? You know how many... yeah. People are absolutely lazy, mind, body, and soul. So these guys get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, why exactly do the medical doctors not get it? Well, because they're trained not to get it. They're trained to ignore all evidence unless it's evidence that they've already been trained. Yeah. You know, they just follow orders. These people aren't thinkers. These people aren't bright. These people aren't going to invent anything. These people aren't going to change the world. Okay? There are so many incredibly talented people out there with a lot of book smarts, all right, who have their creativity silenced. And the creative person doesn't like obeying orders, right? So an artist, a street artist by the name of Banksy, theorized that if everybody would stop following orders, you know, considering that all the worst atrocities have been done by people following orders. Oh, I'm just doing my job. I just executed all those millions of people. I was just doing my job. If you could stop everybody from just doing what they're told, you wouldn't have any of those atrocities anymore. You know, and this is what the medical establishment really is. It's an atrocity specialist.
Anything where you get large numbers of people.
If you want to die, go to a hospital, man. You know, people, it's the other way around. You know, if you don't want to save your life, go to a hospital. No, it's if you want to die, go to a hospital, man. Ask them to give you more drugs. Ask them how many prescriptions you're allowed to have. Ask them, you know, how much should I dance for you, old Dr. Diddley-Doo?
It's anything where you get large. That's the common thread. Wherever you get big groups of mindless, questioning, unthinking people getting together on something, you're going to have problems. You know, it's just whether it was supporting Mussolini, whether it was supporting Adolf Hitler, Chairman Mao, regardless, you know, you are just going to have problems. And you get large groups of dumb people thinking alike.
Speaking of which, workers poisoned while making iPhones. This in from ABC News by China correspondent Stephen McDonnell. Workers in southern China who say they were assembling Apple laptops and iPhones have become seriously ill after using a dangerous chemical. The number 5 People's Hospital in Suzhou has been treating workers who breathed in vapors from the chemical N-hexane. According to the workers, the chemical is being used in the production of Apple products and has left them unable to walk. The ABC's foreign correspondent snuck into the number 5 People's Hospital to visit a group of women who were working in a very small, badly ventilated factory. They say they were using N-hexane to glue and polish the logos on Apple products. At least they assumed they were not fakes. One had kept some of the logos that they were using to prove that they were working on Apple products and showed them to the ABC. After breathing in the chemical's vapors, they became dizzy and numb, and eventually they could not walk. At first, the symptoms were pretty obvious. My hands were numb. I could hardly walk or run, one woman told the ABC. I think they knew it was poisonous to human bodies, but if they had used another chemical, our output would not have increased, another woman said. By using N-hexane, it was much more efficient. The women have now been in hospital for more than half a year. The workers' boss, Zhong Xingzhang, who was not available to be interviewed, Apple, meanwhile, would not confirm it had sourced products from companies based in China, but it had tightened its requirements regarding workplace safety at its suppliers. It's very painful. Workers in much bigger factories have also reported similar stories. The large Taiwanese-owned Operation WinTech has 20,000 employees, and its main client is Apple. Our company mainly produces the touch screens for mobile phones, and our main client is Apple, one worker said. WinTech has also been using N-hexane, and after breathing in the chemical, more than 60 workers had to be hospitalized. Why is it that everybody wants to, you know, poison other people so that they can make our gadgets for us? You know, I'm not sure if, here's the thing. Without my desktop Apple, I would not be able to do this show or have been able to work for 2 years covering activists in this country, you know? And as a result, I feel compelled that despite the fact that I'm trying to do good with the technology that I've got, I understand that it's really bad where it came from. And how can I make up for that? You know, is it my fault specifically that I bought one of these products? No, I think it'd probably be the Chinese government's fault for not regulating their workplaces properly. And also in the case of Fisher-Price toys, which New Zealand imported a lot of, having lead paint on them. Turns out, after I talked to a guy who was actually in the toy importation business, that it was the American designers who designed the toys with lead paint in them so that they would be sent out. And then they recall and demonize the Chinese. Now, I don't want to...
What about everything that's not recalled, though, Vinny? What about the fact that if you walk into a supermarket now, if you go and stop off at the gas station now, you are most likely picking up an estrogen-mimicking plastic when you get a drink bottle. How about, you know, if we were going to recall everything, we wouldn't just be picking on one or two Chinese products.
That's right.
We'd be recalling, probably more than 90%. Half the food supply. Yeah.
No, 90%, bro. 90%. Seriously.
Well, I'm just saying more than half. I'm just being conservative for all the slaves out there. But look, oh, I mean,
I love that phrase. I'm being conservative for all the slaves out there.
Yeah, man. These people, look, if you say 90%, they're going to say you're a wacko. I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying 50%. So at least they, because I know the way these scum are. I mean, they can't handle anything. Their tolerance. They've got a 3-year-old has more tolerance for evidence than these people do. A 3-year-old.
Yeah, I walk into a gas station, okay? To my left, there are chocolate Easter eggs. Bad for you. Full of poison. The milk's got toxins in it now because we've been feeding, palm kernel to our cows. It's now made their milk toxic, and because we make our chocolate with their milk, not good enough. And if it ain't those eggs, it's the eggs next to them, which are now produced in the UK, along with millions of others, that just took all the production out of New Zealand, and now they taste like crap. To my right, there are little toys, all right, made with plastic, that if a child puts it in their mouth, will start altering their bloody DNA and making them little kids. You know, it's ridiculous, man. You cannot look in any direction at any gas station in this country without seeing poison, toxins, or something like that. And I'm not being paranoid. I'm just aware of the reality. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back. Jarman! Oh yes, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly supported by GorillaMedia.co.nz. Now, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, exploitation of people. This is something I really get into, you know, really get off on it. maybe that was a bit of a Freudian slip. I was kind of thinking to myself, this is probably the worst thing you could ever do to another human being, is exploit them or poison them without their knowledge. You know, and ironically enough, and actually, if you're a truther, you know, it's not really ironic. It's basically the lap story of history, isn't it? People get exploited all the time. You know, it's what the elite do. In order for one person to have $1 trillion, trillion people got to have $1 or something like that. You know, I'm sure that's not an accurate description, but you get the general idea. In order for one to gain, others must be deprived. And that's how it is with these people. And that's not the way it has to be at all. You know, we've got technology that's way, way, way more efficient than what we've got now. Fossil fuel engines been obsolete for somewhat 60 years. In fact, it's been obsolete before, in fact, not even fossil fuel, but the carburetor engine, for example. The very first one was a vaporizing carburetor, you know, and they used a wick. It was made in the late 1800s, and it was far more efficient than even today's regular carburetors in our cars. Break down a lot less. Isn't that strange? That the good technology that ensures cheap, efficient and pollutionless energy is suppressed, and the stuff that makes expensive, poisonous and difficult energy is promoted up the wazoo as the best thing since sliced bread. You fill in the blanks here, all right? The old adage is, who benefits? Probably say all the people that are hawking the ridiculously inefficient, pathetic technology, wouldn't you say? Got the ability to actually be really efficient here, people. You know, that doesn't mean we need some type of high-tech society where machines run everything. I just reckon that the cost of living should be down so low that anybody could survive in an incredible Western standard of living at a bare minimum of expense. That way they have more time to spend with their families because they don't have to spend all the time working just to pay the rent and food. You know, we have the ability to grant people the ability to survive without too much effort. Okay? And I don't think that survival is anything too much to ask for. I don't think that stopping exploiting people and devaluing their wages via inflation and increased taxes is really fair. And that shouldn't exist, you know? But it does exist. Anybody who thinks that people aren't being exploited in this day and age in Western culture is absolutely out of their freaking minds and totally out of touch with reality. There's the reality check for you. If you're not a slave, then tell me, what happens if you stop working for your master? You lose your slave lodgings. You lose your slave rations. So what happens today if you quit your job? You get kicked out of your house and you can't buy food. It's exactly the same. And a study was conducted comparing the amount of free time that a serf in the Middle Ages had how much free time they had versus to how much free time the average person today have, including travel times, weekends, etc. It turns out that peasants under tyrants had more free time than we do today. What is wrong with this picture?
But we have a better standard of living, Vinny. We get to be poisoned 24/7. Don't you get it? Of course we have to work harder because we've got so much more. So much more and yet so much less all at the same time. You know, I mean, they worked four-day weeks in the period you're referring to. I mean, I guess the French still do, kind of. Yeah.
It's not to mention that the French are stuck in the Middle Ages. No.
They're in Templar times or anything.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here today, man. The old Templar times. It's ridiculous. Speaking of the Templar times, Queen's £38 million a year offshore wind farm windfall because she owns the seabed. This in from the Daily Mail. The royal family have secured a lucrative deal that will earn them tens of millions of pounds from the massive expansion of offshore wind farms. They will net up to 37.5 million extra income every year from the drive for green energy because the seabed within Britain's territorial waters is owned by the Crown Estate. Under new measures announced by Chancellor George Osborne last week, the royals will soon give 15% of the profits from the estate's $6 billion property portfolio rather than the existing civil list arrangement. Experts predict the growth in offshore wind farms could be worth up to £250 million a year to the Crown Estate. There are already 436 turbines in operation around the UK's 7,000-mile coastline, but within a decade that number is set to reach nearly 7,000. Prince Charles is a vociferous campaigner for renewable energy sources such as these, but is opposed to turbines being erected on land, particularly near his own homes. He has described wind farms as a horrendous blot on the landscape and has refused to have any built at his Highgrove home or in the Duchy of Cornwall estate, but he has expressed enthusiasm for citing them offshore. The Crown Estate said profits from wind farms in Britain's territorial waters, which extended almost 14 miles from the coast, could rise to $100 million a year, giving the royals $15 million. But industry experts says this was an underestimate and that the true figure was closer to $250 million by 2020, with $37.5 million for the royals. They currently receive about $30 million a year from the civil list and other grants, a figure that will be frozen until 2012, when it will be replaced by the new mechanism called the Sovereign Support Grant. One would think that if your royal family is so inept in business, so terrible at keeping their fortune safe, that they would expect a handout from their lowly subjects so that they can continue to live lives of puppet luxury. Now, some say that the Queen has no power over the colonies or anything like this. And apparently there's a bit of a disagreement with that. The Queen can exercise powers such as she can dissolve Parliament if she wishes. That's what the Governor General's really there to be all about, is the Queen's representative to those of us here in the colonial nations, which have no rights, of course. Colonies of slaves. At least we're not colonies of criminals like Australia. But anyway, speaking of colonies of criminals, the warmists plot secretly to kill off the medieval warming period again. And I remember some climate cultist, Climate and Capitalism, I believe, on Facebook. I went in and I told them about the medieval warm period, told them about the Cambrian area, when there was 7,000 parts per million, and he wouldn't listen. In fact, he sent me a link to some obscure website that said that the medieval warm period didn't exist. Remember how one of the great ambitions of the ClimateGate scientists was to contain the putative medieval warming period? Well, guess what? They're still at it. Michael Mann, Phil Jones, Jonathan Overpeck, Eugene Wall, and Malcolm Hughes, just about anyone who's anyone from the ClimateGate emails, in fact, have all been on a clandestine boondoggle to sunny Portugal, there to conspire how best to obliterate that embarrassing and inconvenient period of bounteous warmth between 900 AD and 1280 AD, known as the MWP, the medieval warm period. That bit interests me the most is the site of the carbon footprint. And even more so, who actually grant-funded all these shysters to fly to Portugal for the weekend reality denial fest? And even more so if it was us, which of course it was, via our governments, the UN and the EU. Why we can't have our money back now. WOTC's site was responsible for another classic this week, which you must read on if you haven't already, Willis Eisenbeck's magisterial and hilarious essay, 8/10 of a Degree, Think of the Grandchildren. I met Eisenbach at Heartland, terrifyingly loud shirts and an aura of tousled levity and almost childlike sweetness which might give you the impression that he's just a balmy eccentric. Make no mistake though, this man is a genius. I'll reprint the opening paragraphs to give you a taste. James Hansen and others said we owe it to our grandchildren to get this climate question right. Hansen says grandchildren, with a capital G, when he speaks of them, so I will continue the practice. I mean, for PR purposes. Grandchildren, with a capital letter, outrank even puppies with a capital letter. And I can roll with that. In any case, Hansen got me thinking about the world of 2050. Many, likely, even most people reading this in 2010, will have grandchildren in 2050. Heck, I might have some myself. So I considered the world we will be leaving our grandchildren in 2050. In a recent post, Thomas Fuller floated a proposal that we adopt a couple of degrees as the expected temperature rise over the century. He says in the comments to this thread that I think we owe it to the people of the world to give them an idea of how much warming they can expect so they can plan their buildings, businesses, roads, and lives. They matter. They don't care how much of it is due to CO2 or how much is rebound from an LIA due to forcings we don't understand. They don't. They probably shouldn't. We have temperature rises that we can almost trust from 1958 to show a trend of about 2 degrees for this century if things go on. To start with, I don't think we owe people anything more than the scientific truth as we understand it. And if we don't understand it, as in the case of what the climate may be like over the rest of the century, we definitely owe it to the people to simply say, we don't know. Those three little words. So hard to say. Oh, so no. We don't owe people a number if we don't have one. 8/10 of a degree. How will the grandchildren cope? At last, somebody, other than Booker and Dellingpole on the mainstream media, has finally woken up to the fact that the government is inflicting one of the biggest bills in history on us. £18 billion a year for 40 years for 44,000, 25% efficient wind turbines. At a time when the country is over its head in debt and people are about to lose jobs left, right, and centre. The whole idea of climate change, legislation, green technology, all this stuff, is to destroy human society so that people cannot resist the takeover, which is coming. In fact, it has already begun. Period. There's something very, very wrong with our society when people can't lift their heads out of the sand for but a moment to see the bulldozer crashing over their home. It sickens me. And so many people believe in this climate change nonsense. And yes, it's nonsense. Other people will criticize me for using such strong language. But for F's sake.
Look, man, they're like this. They're like, I'm sick of all these climate deniers and I'm sick of these people that can't realize we're just messing up the environment, and all these climate deniers think there's no pollution and no nothing and everything else. It's not one and the same argument, you fools. Absolute fools. To say that we're causing pollution is a given. To say that we're warming the planet via CO2 is something that needs debating. Even if, done the math here on the show before, even if you're right that humans create CO2 and that lends to warming, you are still wrong that we can do anything about it without killing everyone. You're still wrong, even if your premise is right. That's how...
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back.
Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide.
Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, the best little network in the whole continental US. Because it's run by the best. Oh, yes. Talking about the old Danny. Danny boy. Both of them, in fact. Now, it turns out that 25% of the world's, of US nuclear-powered, supersized aircraft carriers are now around Iran, conceivably in preparation for a strike. And regarding the unscheduled deployment of a second aircraft carrier to the region, CBS News report stated, airstrikes in Afghanistan are up 50%, and now Defense Secretary Gates has ordered a second aircraft carrier, the USS Lincoln, into the fight. Two carriers operating off the coast of Pakistan means about 120 aircraft available for missions over Afghanistan, and that's not counting US Air Force missions flown out of Bagram and Kandahar. The countries bordering the Arabian Sea are Somalia, Djibouti, Yemen, Oman, Iran, Pakistan, India, and the island nation of the Maldives. USS Lincoln and USS Truman are currently assigned to the 5th Fleet's area of responsibility, which encompasses the northern Indian Ocean and its branches and offshoots, the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden, and the eastern coast of Africa, south to Kenya, and the Gulf of Oman, and the Persian Gulf. The nations on the Red Sea, maybe they should be bracing for something. And the 5th is the first fleet established in the post-Cold War period. Recommissioned in 1995 after being deactivated in 1947, similarly the 4th fleet, which is assigned to the Caribbean Sea and Central and South America, was reactivated 2 years ago after being decommissioned in 1950. It shares a commander and headquarters with U.S. Naval Forces Central Command, or CENTCOM, at Manamah, Bahrain, across the Persian Gulf from Iran. CENTCOM was the last regional military command launched by the Pentagon during the Cold War in 1983, and its area of responsibility stretches across what has been referred to as the broader Middle East, from Egypt and the West to Kazakhstan, bordering China and Russia to the east. Now, for those of you who are unaware, with the extent of US bases around the world, and I'm sure that the listenership here probably knows, they're everywhere, in virtually every country. In fact, if you have a look at the map of Iran, and you have a look at every single country that's around them, and there's about a dozen or so, they've all got US bases in them. Iran is...
There's about 140 at the moment. There's about 140 declassified. Most of them run by the CIA.
So apparently the CIA's biggest field office is in Afghanistan running heroin.
Yeah, that makes sense. They were big in Germany for a long time, obviously. And, you know, they set up the German intelligence also, just like they set up Pakistani ISI. But, yeah, they've got at least 140 above-ground declassified bases. Then they've got all their secret ones too that you can't know about. You just have to pay for, Nico, because the government loves you.
We're the government. Love us. Give us your money. And we'll put
provides
some
jobs.
Weaponry in other people's places and countries. That's conservative.
Yeah, well, I'm a statist. I want all these big government jobs. I think it's great that everyone is a micromanagement dupe for the government, issuing tickets and pulling people over and, you know, pushing out corporate healthcare and everything else. I think that's great. The government employs more and more and more people. So when they collapse, all of us collapse too.
Yeah. And this thing with Iran, it was crazy, man. I mean, Castro's talking about it's going to be like the end of the world, you know? I mean, Iran's not by no means a wounded nation that can't fight back like Iraq was. Iraq had suffered under, 10 years? Or something like that, of trade sanctions. About a quarter of a million children died per year or something like that because of these ridiculous sanctions, you know, oil for food exchange and whatnot.
And that's true, that's balkanized people against them. That's true for fun.
Yeah.
That's how you get people to rally behind their leadership, and then you can say they're all extremists, and then you can go in there and have another war. That's how it works. And then dumbasses on both sides believe in it. Dumbasses believe in Saddam Hussein. Dumbasses believe in George W. Dumbasses run the planet. A few smart people called the Illuminati on top.
At the tippy top of the capstone, they've got the all-seeing eye magic. Yo, yeah, we can see everything that's going on. We're the Illuminati, boy. What you want to talk about us for? We want to have absolute secrecy so that we can rule the earth with impunity. You know, as far as I'm concerned, these people are like comic book villains. Like, they really are. I mean, where the hell does everybody get the idea for comic book villains? I mean, this is who they're based on. Seriously.
Yeah, ask Alan Moore.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, check it out. I mean, every Bond villain, for example, gives away his plan before he, you know, fully implements it. Just like the Illuminati. They put the little flicks.
Bond was written by the Illuminati.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Ian Fleming, guys, Google him. He's buried under an obelisk.
So he can channel Lucifer's energy down to Earth. Isn't that nice? Well,
it continues in the afterlife. No, seriously, the whole story of M and Bond was based on a real MI5 agent. Because Ian Fleming was a real MI5 agent. He wrote the original Bond series anyway. Not the new ones, not the Daniel Craig, you know, Russian wannabe palm.
Yep, it's been quite a fabulous show. I've enjoyed this one very much. Ladies and gentlemen, check out our website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and check out our fabulous show blog. We've got a really good collection of articles and stuff on there, some of the stuff that we read on the show and more. Speaking of which, check out gorillamedia.co.nz, and we'll be back tomorrow with Doc Bean for the whole 2 hours. We're going to talk about the recent news in the US. Catch you there.